chapter 12 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall unto the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And the title of my message is Saving Things Meant to Die. Saving things that are meant to die. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that for the anointing, I pray for utterance. Lord, I pray that this word finds good soil. We just thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for accepting our worship. We come against everything that would destroy, anything that would be chaos, Lord. I pray that you minister to us, that your spirit goes forth unhindered. Soften our hearts to receive your word. We give you all of the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Let's give God another praise offering. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, saving things meant to die. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Those of you who are in the medical field will know this word. At least I think you'll know this word. It's called apoptosis. Anyone know that word? Apoptosis? Okay. Well, I know Sister Michelle's a nurse, and I'd heard of it before, but I hadn't really studied it much. But it's about the fact that all the cells in the human body, save a very select few, are programmed to die. They say that your skin cells only live about 3 to 4 weeks. Think about that. That means all of the cells that make up your skin, which is the biggest organ in your body, every 3 or 4 weeks, you've got new cells. And in fact, aging is the process when they don't die. They just kind of start to degrade. That's what we call aging, when they don't renew. That's why when we look at a baby, their skin is so soft. You know why? The cells are being killed and renewed. They're replacing themselves. And in the medical field, this is a known fact. They don't know why it happens, why the cells die, but like blood cells only live for a few months, 6 to 7 months, and they continually replenish themselves. They're programmed to die. Programmed to die. The only cells that don't actually die are the cells in your brain and in your nervous system. They don't die. But, you know, we look at death as a bad thing in most cases. And I understand that. But there are some things that are meant to die. In fact, when the cells that are supposed to die don't die, you know what we call that? Cancer. That's what cancer is, when the cell keeps growing and multiplying beyond its dead date, the time when it should have died. And we can see that there are many things in life that we look at death as a bad thing, but there are some things that are meant to die. Some things are programmed to die. The blood cells in your body, and in fact, nearly every single cell in your body has a shelf date, has a sell by date. Has a time when it is programmed to die. Scientists don't really know why the cells multiply and divide about 6-7 times, and then for some reason they just give out and they die. And some cells replace themselves very quickly, like the skin cells inside of your gut, the lining of your gut, they only live about 4 or 5 days, and they replace themselves. Nerve cells are the only ones that don't really go to that level. There are some things that are just meant to die. And if you preserve them past their date, they actually cause you problems. In the story that we're reading in Kings, we see that God had appointed Saul to be the first king of Israel. What an honor, what a blessing to be the first king over God's people. And at first he did very well. But then he was given this command to destroy this tribe called the Amalekites. And if you were here in Sunday school, you heard about them in Sunday school because they were the first tribe that attacked Israel coming out of Egypt. It was the Amalekites, the same tribe where Moses had to lift up his hand, and we studied about the name. Anyone remember the name that we talked about when Moses lifted up his hand? Jehovah Nissi, because that was the banner over Israel. And so the Amalekites were a thorn in Israel's side right from the get-go. They attacked Israel at every chance they get. They would not be peaceable with them. The first tribe to attack Israel coming out of Egypt were the Amalekites. And so when King Saul became king, God instructed him through the prophet Samuel to destroy the Amalekites. But he didn't do it. He killed all the things that were no good, evil, that looked bad. But the good things, he said, you know, there's really no need to destroy these things. Let's just keep them. And he preserved the best of the animals, the best of the people, and of course he preserved the king. Whose name, anyone remember? Agag. Remember that name, it's important. Now when God told Saul to do this, it wasn't because God just hated the Amalekites. There was a reason why God instructed them to destroy them, because we'll see that later on they became a threat, a very existential threat to Israel. In Esther chapter 3 verse 1, a few hundred years later, because of what Saul did, Agag's son and his children escaped. And a few years later, we find that Israel is in the kingdom of Persia, and Esther has become queen. Esther chapter 3, verse 1. And after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, son of Hammedatha. And what tribe was he from? The Agites. The same tribe that if Saul had been obedient wouldn't have been around now to come and threaten Israel. You see, God had a plan. He wanted Saul to be obedient. There are just some things that are meant to die. There's some things in our lives that God wants dead. But we're not always obedient. We keep these things hanging on. You know what? They look good. They feel good. They're pretty. They make us comfortable. And we disobey God. But God has a reason for everything he says. He never makes things up on the fly. He never is like me, is impulsive and just says, I'll make a decision just like that. God has a perfect reason why he asks you to do what he does. So we see that down a few hundred years later, that Haman came to power in the Persian kingdom. And the Bible lets us know which tribe he came from. He was a descendant of that same king and his family that Saul had let go. Let's jump to Esther chapter 3 and verse 8. So now, because the devil's always working, and he always works almost through the same haters and players of Israel, he comes through Haman, and he says unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all the people. You know why? They followed the law of God. Amen. The devil's plan and God's plan will always be opposite. They cannot live in harmony. They cannot function together. God had a plan to not have this happen, but because of King Saul's disobedience and saving something meant for death, here we have now hundreds of years later that Ahasuerus the king is listening to Haman come up with this plan. And he says, their laws are diverse from all the people, neither keep they the king's law. Therefore, it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. It's not for the king's prophet to let them live. Verse 9, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. Do you see what was going to happen? God saw this hundreds of years before, that if he let the king live, this is what would happen. Sometimes we don't understand why God tells us to kill some things in our flesh, kill some things in our relationship, kill some things that we want. Because a few years later, a few months later, a few weeks later, that same thing will destroy us. Some things are meant to die. Tell your neighbor, some things are meant to die. Because of Saul's disobedience, Haman now was in charge and had the king's ear in the province of Babylon in Persia. And he comes up with this plot to destroy all the Jews. And not only does he want to do, he wants to pay to have them destroyed. He says, I will pay 10,000 talents of silver. Now you know the devil is in this. You know this is the devil's plot. He's not happy enough to just destroy them. He wants to make sure they are exterminated. He will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business and to bring it to the king's treasuries. He's bribing the king to let him destroy the Jews. This is what happened when we let stuff live that was meant to die. Some things are meant to die. Some things in our life, addictions, are meant to die. Some negative relationships are meant to die. Some bad habits are meant to die. But yet, like Saul, we only kill the things that look really bad, which everyone can see. We'll get rid of the stuff which everyone is going to point fingers at. But the little things we have hidden, well, I can control that. That's not going to hurt me. I'm in charge of that. That won't mess up my life. See, that was King Saul's thinking. He thought, I can preserve Agag. He's a good-spoken fellow. Why do we have to kill all these animals? Why do we have to do all of this? And what was happening was that God could see the danger. Many times when we're in life, we can't see the danger of what we're hanging on to. We can't see how it's going to get us because we think we're so smart. We think we are so got this under control. But some things are meant to die. Just as how in your cells, if those cells did not die that were supposed to die, you turn out with cancer. Cancer is when the cell that was supposed to die stops dying. It starts to multiply and grow out of control. Sometimes we think we're in control of aspects of our life, but they start to multiply and take control of us. Here's what Paul said to the Galatians church in Galatians chapter 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Paul knew about death. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Our old man is supposed to die. Because if we try and have him half live, he'll be like a walking dead. You know those scary movies where they're going like this? We don't want no zombies walking into our life. Our old man is supposed to die. It's meant for death. But we keep resurrecting him. We keep letting a little bit of him start to live. Well, if I let this arm go, it's okay. The rest of the body is dead. I let this arm live. It'll be okay. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. You know what he was saying? I have died with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The New Testament repeatedly tells us that there are some things that are meant to die. And I know all of us, we look just like T.D. Jakes said when Jesus asked, one of you is about to betray me. It's him. It's him. You know, in school, we always kind of look at the person who actually did it. This wasn't us. No, it couldn't be us. It's him. It's her. But I want you to know it's all of us. I have some things I need to really crucify. There's some times I thought it was dead and it wants to come back up. Maybe it's just anger. I thought I had anger crucified. I really did. I thought I had it really in control until some incident happened and I just felt that out of control spirit come. You know when you have a temper and that out of control and you don't care who's in front of you. They could be 7 foot. You don't care. You get so mad. Some things have to die. If we don't, we run the danger of being like King Saul, thinking that he could make the choice better than God. Paul says here, nevertheless, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, meaning spiritually now by faith. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. If we don't live by the faith of the Son of God, we'll let some things come back to life. The undead. We don't want to be walking around with the undead. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's the modern translation. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. We're commanded to put to death some things that we don't want to put to death. We're commanded to end some relationships we don't want to end. We're commanded to drop some addictions we don't want to drop. There's some habits that we need to kill. You know, they're not very bad habits. When we were living in Virginia, almost 40 years ago, we went to a home missions church. And we had one bad habit. We were perennially late. We were far. We had lots of excuses. We lived 30 miles away. So that's a good excuse. I mean, you can't predict when you get to church if you live 30 miles away. That's a good excuse, isn't it? Anyway, one day, the pastor called us into his office. And he sat us down. And he said to us, "You don't love God, do you?" Just like that. Very plain. "You don't love God." And I was shocked. I was shocked. Where is he coming from? Who does he think he is? "You're always late." That changed us. It changed me. I won't say she wasn't the problem. Let's say it was me. I was the problem. There was something we had to kill. There's some things we have to kill. There's some things that are not meant to be alive in our life. Paul to the Colossians church, chapter 3, verse 5, he says this, "Mortify." That's an old-fashioned English word which means kill, put to death, have off with. "Therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection." What does inordinate affection mean? When you are putting something on a pedestal, you're worshiping sports, say, for instance. You'll miss church for sports. That's an inordinate affection. "Evil concupiscence and covetousness," which is all of this, is idolatry. We need to kill the idols in our lives. Saul had an idolatry of maybe celebrity. He looked at this king and said, "Well, he's a famous person. I can't put him to death." Verse 6 tells us, though, what the consequence of this is. "For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." Some things are meant to die. You know, we don't look at death as a good thing, but as I tell you, in our body, that's all what's happening. Your cells are dying every day. Your skin cells die within 3 or 4 weeks. They have to be renewed. And if they don't, that's what you call aging. That's what aging is, when the skin cells and the other cells stop reproducing, stop dying, and new ones coming. It's not a good thing. All of you who are over 50 can look in the mirror and understand what I'm talking about. Jesus himself told us that his purpose for coming to the earth was to die. John chapter 12, verse 24. And he puts it in this example. He says, if you have a corn of wheat and it doesn't die, guess what happens? Nothing happens. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." If we die to self, if we die to all of these earthly pleasures, then we can be born again spiritually and bring forth much fruit. He goes on to say, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto..." God is quite the opposite of our thinking. He doesn't think like we do. We think, hang on to life, preserve things. But you know, there is a time, as is written, it says, there's a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot. God has a perfect timing for everything. And when things go beyond what he wants, trouble happens. I did not put the scriptures in my message today, but when King Hezekiah was getting old, the prophet came to him and told him, "Hezekiah, you're going to die. So get your house in order, get things together, write out your will, you're going to die." Hezekiah wasn't prepared for that. He didn't want that, so he prayed and asked God to extend his life. And God was merciful in that God extended his life, but there were some consequences that happened. The prophet came back before he left the palace and he said, Hezekiah, God has heard your prayer and he's added 15 more years to your life. Hezekiah rejoiced. Who wouldn't rejoice about that? Hezekiah thought this was a good thing. And he rejoiced and God allowed it to be. But this is when Hezekiah messed up. It was in the last 15 years of his life. He made some huge mistakes that wouldn't have happened if he had died. Now that sounds weird, but I'm just showing you that God had a purpose in when he was supposed to go, and he didn't go. What happened next was the Babylonians sent some ambassadors to Jerusalem. And Hezekiah foolishly opened all his kingdom to them, showed them all the riches that he had acquired. He showed them all the treasuries of the house of God. He showed them all the gold vessels and the silver. And so they went away and back and went to tell the Babylonian king, you know, we should attack Israel. This was a big mistake. This would not have happened if Hezekiah had accepted what God had said. God loved him and let him live another 15 years, but it was in that 15 years that he messed up. Sometimes some things are meant to die. Now, I'm human, so if I get that kind of word, I'm going to ask God to give me another 15 years. But I'm just showing you sometimes some things are meant to be. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into ground, you cannot get a harvest unless the corn seed dies. We could not be forgiven unless Jesus went to the cross and died. He asked that in the garden. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In another scripture, he said, everything that he asked the Father, he will do. So we know that this was one thing that was not possible. There was no way for salvation unless Jesus Christ died. Unless he shed his blood on Calvary. Unless he became our Passover lamb. There was no way out of it. Sometimes some things are meant to die. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Amen. Let's stand. I told you I wasn't going to be long. I have a question for you. Are there some things in your life that are meant to die? I have some things that I know that I need to kill. Maybe it's just a tiny little bit, just a tiny little bit of unbelief. Maybe there's an area of doubt in my life that I've been nurturing, where I've been questioning God. And I think that's okay. It can stay there. It's not going to bother me until I get a certain crisis. And then Satan will use that little tiny bit of unbelief. He'll use that little tiny little bit of unbelief to throw my whole world. Hezekiah thought it was no big deal. It's this story that is one of the saddest endings in the whole Bible. Samuel then shows up after Saul has spared the best in his mind. And he knows he's done wrong because he really runs out to Samuel and says, I've done exactly what God commanded. I killed all of the bad stuff. And Samuel says, but what is this I hear? I hear all these animals. And isn't that King Agag over there? Isn't that the king over there? Samuel then says to him, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. He puts what Saul did as the same level as witchcraft. And it was because of this that Saul missed it. Saddest verse in the Bible, I think it's chapter 16. When Samuel is talking with God and praying for Saul, and God says to Samuel, don't mention him to me anymore. don't speak to me of him anymore. I'm done with him. See, what Saul did was just a symptom. It showed that although God had given him everything, God had made him king, God had chosen him out of his tribe of Benjamin, God had given him wealth, God had elevated him, he had not given to God all of himself. He had decided to hold some of himself back and was disobedient. He didn't trust God. Maybe if I save the best animals, we'll have more food. Maybe if I save Agag, you know, he'll make friends with me. We are not smarter than God. We have to be obedient to God. And some of the saddest things in the Bible was when God told Samuel, stop praying for him. Don't even mention his name to me. I'm done with him. All because he didn't kill some things that were meant to die. Lord, if there's some things that I have that are meant to die, help me to see them. Help me to promise. Help me to get rid of them. Help me. Some of us are hoarders, you know. Oh, I'm not going to throw away this. I might need it. 5 years later, you come across it. Still, it could be useful sometime. I'm guilty of that. If you go in my garage, there's things that I've put down that I've never... There's, I think, 20-year-old things. I told my wife the other day, I'm going to clean that out. Now I'm going to have to do it. God is saying, don't be a hoarder. Some things are meant to die. We need to examine our garage spiritually. And things that we've been holding on to that we won't let go. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's something we think is harmless, like, well, they did it to me. I'm going to give them a bad face every time I see them. Maybe it's unforgiveness. But because of this, we have one of the saddest verses in the Bible where God told Samuel, don't mention his name to me again. Don't pray for him. I have rejected him. Because he didn't kill something that was meant to die. I don't want to keep repeating myself, but it's important that we understand that God has told us some things that we're to get rid of, that we can't hold on to, that we can't go back and resurrect and think it's going to be okay. It will not be okay. It will end badly. Even for the good king like Hezekiah, who all he asked for was a little bit extra life, and God gave it to him, but the consequences were he did some things that were in the end devastating to Israel. Because of what he did in his descendants' days, Babylon came because they knew how wealthy Israel was because he had shown them. He opened up all the doors to the treasures that they didn't know about. And from that time, Babylon plotted against Israel to come and take them captive. See, it's the little things that we allow back into our lives that down the road can kill us. These altars are open. We're going to close in prayer. And we should really make a pledge today, Lord, I'm not going to save the things that you don't want saved. I'm not going to preserve the things that you have declared to be should be dead to me. I don't want them in my life. Give me the strength, Lord, to clean out my spiritual garage. Put me at that place, Lord, where I will kill the things that you don't like. Help me not to preserve Agag. Because down the road, his descendants may come and want to kill me. Hallelujah. Saving the things that were meant to die. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to come down there and pray for everyone who has come to the altar. But let's all of us today make a pledge to God that we won't be hoarders, that we will truly clear out those things that are displeasing to God. Father, Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that your word moves us. Lord, that we don't just bury this word, but Lord, that it moves us, that it changes us, that we put to death the things of the flesh, Lord God, that are meant to die. Lord, that we don't get a cancer of sin that keeps growing in our body, that in the end will kill us. Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord God, the examples that you have given us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to by faith right now to live by the faith of your Son, just as Paul says, to put to death, to crucify, to mortify this flesh, oh God. Oh Lord God, that we will not react to Satan, that we will, oh God, only react to the Spirit. Lord Jesus, help us, whatever it is, addictions, relationships, unforgiveness, Lord God, whatever it is, that we will put it to death today. Lord God, that we can truly, oh God, be in submission to you. We thank you right now, Lord. Lord, for everyone that's under the sound of my voice, help us right now by faith to reach out to you, to call upon your name. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, that this word will cover us. This word will wash us. This word, hallelujah, will bring us to a point, Lord God, where we're willing to put to death the things of the flesh. We thank you right now. Hallelujah. Church, if you could pray with me as we pray and ask God to change us, help us to recognize those spots in our spiritual house where we have hidden things that God wants us to destroy.